Outlaws and the Lo-Fi Punk Motherfuckers mit Warm Tweak auf Lux FM. Eddy Argos, unser Moderationskollege, steht bei mir im Studio und bewirbt den Auftritt seiner Lo-Fi Motherfuckers, die heute Abend, Lo-Fi Punk Motherfuckers, die
Lo-Fi
heute
Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers.
I'm so sorry.
It's a very long name, isn't it?
Die spielen heute Abend jedenfalls im Schokoladen und wir wollen darauf schon mal hinweisen und wollen auch ein bisschen sprechen über den Output von Eddy, der ja wahnsinnig groß gewesen ist in den letzten Monaten. Hello and how are you doing, my man?
Yeah, good, man, good.
Bit of
good.
Running to
I've been rehearsing
be
all day.
On time.
Yeah, noisy rooms, so I came, it's not far, so I ran straight here.
So you rehearsed at noisy rooms this morning for tonight's show?
From about 10. Well, I said I've got some new motherfuckers, like no one on that recording's in the band anymore.
Oh, wow.
Because motherfuckers have a very short life.
Yeah.
Alcohol abuse.
Sure.
Heroin addiction, you know. They'll go, you know.
That's what motherfuckers are known for.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm on about Mark 7 now.
Yeah, and as long as you know enough motherfuckers.
Yeah, I know.
To refill the band,
we live
cool.
In Berlin, man. There's nothing but motherfuckers here.
A city made of motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're growing trees.
Before we talk about tonight's gig and the beautiful band, the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers, let's talk about you being a busy beer, putting out stuff on a weekly basis in those last months, kind of.
About, yeah.
About 10 days ago, you finally released a new book called Fuck Rock, Let's Art.
It's pre-ordering at the moment.
Okay, cool. It's a book filled with art and essays that you wrote.
Well, it's been 10 years since I started painting, really. So it's like a collection of all of my paintings and then an essay about each painting.
Oh, okay. So
some other stuff, poetry and stuff too.
Yeah, your interest in painting started when Art Brut were kind of on the start of their career?
A bit more, yeah, like maybe 2 years before.
Okay.
But I'm just rounding it up to 10.
That's fine. Cool. But this is the book where you present your art and you talk about your ideas behind the paintings?
Yeah, behind the paint. Oh, because I can't really paint. I can't really paint. I paint like ideas, strange ideas I have, really. So it's nice to have the essay to go with the painting, I think.
Yeah, okay. So you explain a little.
Yeah, what it's about.
And I also want to talk people into buying Any Questions, another book that you put out. And this one is about the entire history of Art Brut. The reader gets insights and something like backstage knowledge, maybe.
Yeah, it's an essay for each album and then an essay on the B-sides. And like I sort of annotated the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like I'm a scholar, you know? Uh-huh. So people need to be educated. They can buy my book and learn about Art Brut.
No, but it's a really interesting thing because when I look at your lyrics printed down in a book, without the music, it's a whole other animal. You kind of like get other ideas out of those lyrics in comparison to listening to them. It's an interesting phenomena about that book.
Well, I was saying to you before, it's because when the song was playing this, I've got quite an annoying voice. maybe people would appreciate the lyrics just to read them and not have me shouting at them.
And how inspiring is looking back at 10 years of your own work?
It's really nice. When I was like making it, I was like, because I remember like round about halfway through writing Bang Bang Rock and Roll thinking, fuck, I've got no lyrics. I've got half an album and now I'm 4 albums in and loads of B-sides. It's like, it's nice to know that fear went away. I didn't have writer's block. I just needed to work.
Yeah.
I think so. It's nice.
So that's the perfect cure for writer's block is just keep on working.
Keep going.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, and it's nice to see it at the end. Like, oh, that's quite a thick book, isn't it? I've written quite a lot of songs.
Yeah. And I think it must have been strange as well to look back at those 10 years because, I mean, so many things happened. You've been working with Frank Black. You've been doing so many great, crazy things. You were like well known on a worldwide basis.
I was well known.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You've been and you still are. But it must have been strange as well to look back at those 10 because sober all those 10 years. So there's things that you
didn't sober at all
that popped up when you were looking at the story again.
And because so many of my lyrics are autobiographical, it's quite nice really to look at it and go, oh, that's when I was breaking up with that person.
Yeah.
Or that's when I was listening to, like it's nice to sort of see my life in a section of lyrics.
Yeah. And it's basically. It's basically something against forgetting, right? To make music is something like that as well. But if you put down the lyrics into a book, it's like really time traveling kind of.
Yeah, well, lots of bands. I like bands like Billy Childish and the Nightingales, and the band they make books of their lyrics too. And I was like, oh, I want to be like. like a cult figure like those guys. I think this is like the first step is like...
And I know, and all the people out there know that your lyrics have always been really special, and it's really interesting to have a closer look at them and to take them seriously.
I'm a very serious man.
That's a new thing for me, and it's quite interesting.
Well, yeah, and you can buy that book at my website.
Yes, and the website's address is...
lofipunkrockmotherfucker.co.uk. Yeah,
because this is more like a label, the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers thing.
I accidentally sort of became a label because I live in Germany. Uh-huh. And I think anywhere else I could just make a book and sell it. But like, no, in Germany you need to start a small business, need to be a publishing company, blah, blah, blah. So I accidentally started a publishing company.
Oh, okay.
So now I need to release books now to pay the accountant.
That's a good idea, though. That's a good idea.
No, I love it, too.
And looking back at those lyrics and those good times, is it inspiring you to go back and write more lyrics for our group? Because your last record's been out...
2011, yes, a while ago.
And the band has been kind of... There's new members in the band.
Yeah, it's all fresh now.
Fresh.
I'm going over on Sunday. Yes. And we're writing all week. We've got like 5 or 6 new songs. I really like them, actually, the new songs.
Cool.
It's kind of punky. I think even like having a rest and doing the motherfuckers and stuff is kind of... Yeah, revitalized me. It's like, yeah,
cool.
They're a lot more punky, these new Abbey songs. I really like them.
Cool. And would you want to work with Frank Black again?
Yeah.
How was working with him?
Oh, brilliant. I love it. Yeah, definitely. He just lives so far away. I'm trying to convince him to move to Berlin. He was here in October, I think.
Okay.
We spent a day together. We went to Hamburger Bahnhof. And, well, that was quite nice.
Oh, I would be so intimidated to be in the studio with this guy.
The first time we really were.
Yeah.
But then we sort of, I don't know, that's the first time we were flying over and we were going, does he drink? Does he drink?
Yeah.
If he drinks, it's going to be okay. Does he drink? Does he drink? And we got there. And he had loads of drink for us in his car. Brilliant, it's going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
We went to his hotel room and got drunk and that sort of burst the bubble of it being.
Okay.
But still, every now and again, though, because like, I sang on the last Our Brew album.
Yeah. Which was his idea, right?
It's completely his idea, yeah. And he was recording the songs, like I'd write the lyrics and he'd sing them to me and I'd sing them back.
What?
It was so weird having Frank Black sing me all of my lyrics and go like, oh, I would have peed my pants
and would have left the studio immediately.
It was really hard to learn with like one of my favourite ever songwriters telling me how to sing and stuff. Yeah, it was amazing.
The rumour is that he's not the most friendly guy all the time.
Yeah, I've heard that. He's probably the friendliest guy I've ever met.
Cool.
He's like a real family man. He's a cool guy, you know?
That sometimes happens that people are just talking shit about
one
him.
His book said a mean thing about me and everyone believed it, I think, is what happened. Because he's a cool guy.
Okay. Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to another song by Eddie Argos and the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers. Und zwar haben wir hier nochmal auf The Flux FM am Freitagnachmittag das schöne Stückchen Death to Everything That's Not Guitar Music.
Ja.
Death to Everything That's Not Guitar Music, Eddie Argos and the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers. That's a nice band name, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
but what's the difference to Uproot, actually?
No, this one's not as well rehearsed.
Sorry, it was just a joke.
But
there's similarities.
I think anything that I sing on ends up sounding... I've got quite a distinctive voice, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah.
And Uproot's a punk band as well. So
yeah.
It's just a bit more lo-fi.
Yeah, it's just a bit more lo-fi. That's a good, nice explanation, though. And then when, how, and with whom did you record those songs? And
where did they come from? It was just after the last Our Brew album, so like end of 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. And that last Our Brew album was quite serious,
mm-hmm.
some of it singing and stuff. So I thought, I want some fun punk rock songs again. So I wrote like 6. And then Great White Shark, the band were called, or Big Skies. You know, those guys were in the band and then some other people.
Yeah.
And then they left. And we did it with Ed East from Chikinki. He recorded it. Everything in one take.
Okay. So is that like a rule for recording with the lo-fi punk rock?
Yeah, it's not a rule, but it's just cheaper, isn't it? doing it. Day. It's good.
Yeah.
Takes as long to listen to the songs.
I was thinking of those Dogma films, you know, there's no additional light and you could only use a digital camera, you know, stuff. Maybe you should put up Dogma.
Make those rules, that's true. Well, I like the fact that the song takes as long to record as it does to listen to.
That's cool.
It's like the album's in real time.
Yeah.
That's how we recorded it.
Cool. Another thing that I read about that sounds quite interesting to me is that you've planned a storytelling tour for this fall.
That's coming up. Yeah,
in October or something.
Yeah, well, to go with the book, actually.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things I'm doing. I'm doing in England and at some literary festivals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some spoken word about how I formed a band.
Cool.
Like a long story about that, really, mm-hmm. It's quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then in
it's quite funny.
And then in Germany, I'm doing an acoustic tour with Ian and the lyric book and telling stories about that and things.
But for the German audience to make sure that they like something, you play some songs so they understand a little bit or what?
No, I organise the two things separately. And it's like, oh, this yeah, it just happened that way. Yeah, so cool. I think I'll come back again and do the talking tour in Germany.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah,
I've got an integration course I've just started. So perhaps by next May I'll be speaking German.
No, you're
660
an integration
hours.
Course because course. Your German wife forced you to do that.
And,
or what?
And my baby isn't. I've got a little baby now, a German baby. So
and that
learn.
Forced you to.
Yeah, and I've been living in 3 years. I think it's time to integrate. Yeah. It's time to integrate.
And have you started that course already?
No, I start that 2 days after my birthday. I start at 27th of October.
Oh, and I'm telling you right now that this is going to make material for a new book.
All in German.
Eddie Agros Integration Course 2014. It's going to be a great book.
I quite like the beginning of the integration, to get on the integration course. Yeah. I had to fill out loads of forms. Yeah. That really is like integration to Germany. Welcome to Germany.
Yeah.
Form filling.
Yeah. Totally true.
Bureaucracy.
Those people, they know what they're doing, man. They know what they're doing.
I understand
you from step one on. It's a brilliant thing.
Bureaucracy. Here we go.
Yeah. So Eddie Agros and the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers tonight. What can people expect from tonight's show?
Yeah, we're playing at about 8:30, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like some covers and some of these motherfucking songs. Mm-hmm. And then all night, me and Charlie are DJing lo-fi punk rock motherfucking songs.
Wow.
So we're DJing till.
So it's going to be a long night. It's
all night.
Yes.
Billy Childish, The Yummy Fur, These Animal Men, kind of proper lo-fi punk.
You bring the razor blade, bring the speed. It's going to be a long night.
Let's go.
Eddie Agros and the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers heute Abend also im Schokoladen. Und wer da vorbeigehen möchte, der ruft mich jetzt an unter 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für Eddie Agros and the Lo-Fi Punk Rock Motherfuckers. Without a syllable forgotten this time.
Perfect.
Thank you a lot for visiting us, Eddie.
Thanks for having me, man. It's good.
Have a great show tonight. And then we'll talk again real soon about the storytelling and acoustic tour.
And business and all that. Cool.
Yeah, and then as soon as you finish some new Art Brood material, you have to tell us. I mean,
bring it in, yeah.
You're here anyway.
Yeah, okay. I live in that little office.
So see you there.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.